morning, Penguin Radio. This is DJ Homeschool, and you are listening to Real Life. It is Wednesday. It is already November. It's November 12th. I hope all of you guys are having a really great day so far. It is a freezing cold fall morning right now, and I'm really loving it. It's been a really busy, crazy week here at Dominican, but it's going pretty well over here. I've been talking to a lot of the students and faculty, and it's getting to that time of year where no one's really wanting to go to school, and it's getting cold out. They want to stay in bed. They're having some trouble getting to classes, and it's been a little bit of a struggle academically here at Dominican this past week, but we're getting through it. Everyone is trying to stay well rested, just kind of hanging in there. So I've had a really exciting, busy week. I've had a lot of projects to turn in, but it's nice because I think finals are going to be a little bit easier for me now that I've taken all this time to do all this work and do all this prep work. I've been going down to my favorite 24-hour Starbucks. Well, my favorite one is actually being remodeled, and I didn't know that. And I almost cried when I pulled up to it. I thought, oh my goodness, what in the world? It's closed. What am I going to do? But I found one that's fairly close that, you know, I think I like more. Sometimes you get so used to something that you don't go out and try new things. So I tried a new coffee shop, and I think I like that one better. It's close to a Walgreens and a Ross and a TJ Maxx. And I love getting something on sale, like getting a good bargain at Ross. And they have so many cool things. And so it's nice because we can go to the Starbucks, we can be doing our work, but if we need a little break, we can hop on over, just walk around, just even stretch our legs, even if we don't have to buy anything. But there's also that Walgreens and a Trader Joe's right there in case we need a snack rather than your typical Starbucks pastry. So that's been something that I've been going to almost every night to get my homework done, and definitely not sleeping a whole lot these days, but that's college, right? I kind of like it. It kind of makes it exciting. It's really fun. So I have a pretty long weekend coming up. I have drafts of papers due this week, and then I'm going to just spend most of my weekend redoing them. But I might get a tattoo this weekend, and I thought I would share that with you guys. I'm not sure if any of my family members are listening. Some of my family would be okay with that, but especially my parents. They're okay with tattoos. My dad has one. But I really want to get one, and I either want to get a crescent moon or a type 1 diabetes ribbon, which is a gray ribbon. And those are two things that I've always loved, moons and diabetes ribbons. And so they're something that I will love even when I'm 85. That's something that will be a part of me. And so I think that that's something that I would like to get a tattoo of. You know, a couple of my friends have some cute ones, and a couple of my friends have some not so cute ones. So I want to be sure that this is something that I really, really want to do and something I want to invest my time in. So we have a really great show coming up for you. We are going to have a guest in the studio talking about a digital detox. So she's going to come in here and we're going to have a little conversation and fill you in on what a digital detox actually means and how it can be beneficial to you. And, you know, it's almost Thanksgiving and it's the holidays and everyone's glamming up and glitzing up. And so I don't talk a whole lot ever about fashion on this show. I would never classify myself as a fashionista, but there are a couple new fall trendy things that are kind of coming into style that I have really liked. You know, I'm not one of those girls that likes things just to like it if it's in style. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I'm okay with that too. But there are a couple really fun things that I want to talk to you guys about. So we are going to have, again, a guest in the studio. So just stay tuned right here on radio.dominican.edu. And we'll get her in here real quick. So stay listening. So we're going to do things a little bit of an out of order today. You guys know I usually talk beauty and then I go into wellness and relationships and organization. But because of our special guest, we're going to switch things up. So I'm going to talk to you guys. We're going to go right into relationships today. So I'm going to talk to you about my last weekend. And it was probably one of the best weekends that I've had in a long time. So I used to babysit this girl in my hometown, and she was coming up. Her parents, I'm still close with her family, their family friends. And she texted me and said, "Hey, we're coming up to Monterey. Would you like to come visit us?" And I thought, oh my gosh, what are they doing in Monterey? This is going to be so much fun. Well, Bryn, their little girl, she's a golfer. She is way better than me. She could probably beat some of the girls on my college team. This little girl is absolutely incredible. She goes to all kinds of tournaments all over, and she just rocks them. She's absolutely incredible. And so she was playing in the USGA Kids Championship Tournament, and they had a regional tournament in Monterey this past weekend. So I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be perfect. I'm going to go see her. Well, I had so much homework to do, so I just really busted it out the few days before that. That way I knew I'd be able to go see her on Sunday. And the really cool part was they expected her to win, and then she was going to have to give a speech. And so if she did end up winning, it would be a great day for me to be down there and to see her. So Monterey, I thought, was a lot closer than it actually was. It's like 2.5 hours away from me. But I woke up super, super early, and I was like a little kid on Christmas. I was so excited that I couldn't sleep the night before. I was so excited to see Bryn and her family. Mike and Corinne are her parents. I was so excited. You know, I haven't gotten to see any of my family in a really long time, and we're really close. They're like family to me. And so for me to be able to see them, I was so excited. Couldn't sleep the night before. So I woke up super, super early that morning and drove down to Monterey. And call me crazy, but I love driving. I think that even long distances are really good for you. I think that it's good to be by yourself sometimes. I think it's good to kind of be able to clear your mind and just be alone with your own thoughts, listen to music, do whatever you want, you know, give yourself a little pep talk if you need it. I don't know. I've always loved driving. So waking up and driving by myself did not bother me at all. And it was an absolutely beautiful drive. I went through the East Bay because that was going to be a lot closer and a lot easier to get to. And so I drove through the East Bay and drove down through San Jose and through Gilroy, which, for those of you guys who don't know, Gilroy is like tagged as like the garlic capital, and it has garlic everywhere. And when you drive through it, it smells like garlic. It's the craziest thing ever. They have a festival there every year that I really want to go to. But anyways, so I took this drive, and it was just so beautiful and so relaxing. I got to see so much of the Bay Area. It was awesome. I got to drive through Oakland, so I got to see the East Bay area. And then I went down to the South Bay, to San Jose and Gilroy and Morgan Hill, and I found some really great outlets that I wanted to actually stop at too. They had some really nice shopping over there. And then I started getting down into the Salinas and Monterey area, and it was so beautiful and crisp and foggy. It was incredible. At one point, I was almost a little bit scared because it was so foggy, and I could barely see anything. I could barely see right in front of me. All the cars were going like 25 miles an hour because we couldn't see anything in front of us. The fog was so thick. So I'm driving, and I'm really not knowing what's going on, but I think fog is beautiful. So I'm following my GPS. I'm, you know, seatbelt buckled. I'm two hands on the wheel, you know, not messing around. You're just paying attention, trying to get through that fog. And so I'm driving. I have no idea what it looks like. And then the fog clears a little bit, and I arrive in Monterey. And it is one of the most amazingly beautiful things that I've ever seen. It was absolutely incredible. I could not believe how clear the skies were, how much green there was, and the beautiful beach with the little sand dunes. It was just awesome. I was so excited. So I drove to the hotel to meet them before the tournament, and I was really nervous. I didn't want to make Bryn nervous before her tournament or get her all hyped up about having family or like friends and guests and all, you know, that type of thing around. I didn't want to make her nervous and make her like feel that it was more pressure. But she was so excited just to have people there. It was like another day for her. She had no idea that concept of, oh my gosh, I'm playing in this huge tournament, I might win. That was not what she was thinking about at all. Not at all. She had no idea. So I get to the hotel and she's just so excited. She wants to show me all of her golf clothes and she wants to show me her purse that she got the other day. And she's 7, by the way, so she's still a little girl. She just turned 7 in August. So she was just so excited. And that just made me so happy to see her. You know, I've known Bryn, I've known her parents since before she was born. And so to be able to watch her grow up and for me to have babysat her, and we had a really great close relationship, but then I've been gone for 3 years. And so I had that fear inside of what if she doesn't really know me anymore? What if we have nothing to talk about, or she doesn't view me as that friend anymore? And, you know, I got nervous. I thought, you know, what if that's how this goes? You know, what if we just don't have that bond like Bryn and I used to have? But it was immediate right away. She did not say one word to her parents. She wanted to make sure I was driving in the car with her, sitting next to her, holding her hand, walking with her everywhere she went. And so that was just such a great feeling to be able to see her and to see her parents again and watch this little girl play golf. So we go to the golf course and she is just so excited and she's just practicing away. And it was incredible to watch how much she has improved over the years. I remember the first few times that Bryn picked up some golf clubs and we thought, you know, Bryn, she's going to be a good golfer. And sure enough, she sure was. She has just flourished into this incredible golfer. Her golf swing is the same exact swing every single time. And for those of you who don't know golf, that is the ultimate goal, is to have the same swing every time. Nice fluid motions. And she is just incredible. So I watched her practice and she would get so excited. You know, she'd make a putt while she was practicing and she'd look over to make sure I was watching her, and she would smile and her little head would shake and she'd get so excited, and she would skip and bounce and hop and run to all of her next little practice sessions. And so that was so much fun to see her and to see how happy golf makes her. And it was really awesome to kind of see the little network of kids and parents that are there. There are a lot of kids that go to these tournaments and they all kind of go together. They all kind of travel in a pack. You know, they go to Arizona, they go to Nevada, at least the group of, you know, the people where I'm from. So they go down to the valley, then they go into Las Vegas. And so it was really nice to kind of see all of them together traveling to this tournament all the way up in Monterey, California. And so we start off the tournament and she has a little bit of a rough start, and she kind of had a little bit of trouble on the first hole, but she pulled it together right away. And so that was really great to see. And she just kept her head in the game for the entire round. It was a 9-hole tournament and she went into the first day with a 1-stroke lead. And she just kept her head in it. She remained calm. Again, she thought it was just like any other day, that she was just playing another golf tournament. So she goes into the 7th hole and she had a really hard time. She didn't hit a good tee shot and she struggled to get the ball on the green. And the girl that was right behind her, kind of keeping that score with her, she went up on her by 2 strokes. So going into the 8th hole, Bryn was 2 down. Well, nothing changed on the 8th hole. They both remained the same. I think both girls parred, meaning it didn't change either of their scores. So going into the 9th hole, Bryn is still 2 down. And her parents are like, oh my gosh, it's over. She's not going to win. And Bryn, being as energetic as always, says, it's not over yet. Stop saying that. And her parents just kind of laughed and wrote her off. Well, sure enough, Bryn hits this amazing tee shot 5 feet from the green. All she has to do is chip it up and make a putt, and she'll birdie the hole. Well, the other poor little girl hits it out of bounds. Which, of course, you never wish that on anybody, to hit it out of bounds. But Bryn now had a chance to bring back this win. And unfortunately, the little girl struggled trying to get her ball back in bounds. And Bryn chipped it up a little bit far from the green. She made a par. She two-putted. And the other little girl made an eight. And Brynn ended up winning the tournament. And she won the girls seven and under division. And it was so incredible. I thought I had anxiety while I played golf, thinking that, you know, oh my gosh, am I going to make a good shot here? Am I not going to make a good shot here? My anxiety levels were 10 times as high when it was Brynn, because I was just so excited for her. And it was so funny because we were all just in so much shock. I mean, going into the hole, she's two strokes down. And in golf, that's a lot to be two strokes down going into the last hole. You're not, very, very rarely are you going to be able to make those strokes up. And she walked off the course, and it's just business as usual. And she goes, so did I win? And we're like, Brynn, oh my gosh, you won. Brynn, good job. And we're trying to give her a high five. And she goes, cool, can you go get me some chips? And that was all she thought about. She was just so ready to move on to the next thing and so nonchalant. It was absolutely precious. So she and I went back to the hotel while her parents packed up her bags and packed up all the golf equipment and loaded it into the rental car. And she and I got to hang out a little bit more. And we went down to the arcade and played some car racing games and tried to get one of those stupid stuffed animals out of the claw machine. And those things frustrate me beyond all belief. But it was really great. And then we all went out to lunch afterwards to kind of hang out for a little bit after the tournament, after we packed up. And so that was just an amazing weekend for me. And I absolutely loved getting to see them, getting to spend time with them. I really missed that part of my life. And so it was really nice to be able to bring them up to Northern California for a little bit, watch a great golf tournament, go out to lunch, and just really catch up with everybody. So that's what I did this weekend, and that about wraps it up for the relationship segment. So we have our guest in the studio today, so we're going to take a quick break and get her set up on a microphone, and we will be right back. Stay here. You're listening to Real Life on radio.dominican.edu.
Dragging you up, all you do is pull me down. I wish you good luck, cause now I ain't around. See, I can recollect every other rainfall, but I stayed you unchanged, it's my only downfall. Oh. Boy, put your trousers up, I ain't bruv. I deserve some respect. Yay. You're a man of a match, you don't provide a protect. Stay stuck in the mud, I'll be on to the next.
Oh, Neil, you're not the boy you said you'd be.
Welcome back, Penguin Radio. This is Real Life, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. We were just listening to a little bit of Aretha Franklin in the studio, and we have Keiko Arrett in the house today, and she is the Director of Operations for the School of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences. Keiko, how are you?
I'm good.
Great. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, no problem.
So you were just talking to me while we were listening to Aretha Franklin, and you said she had a new album coming out?
Yeah, I love Aretha Franklin. But yeah, I guess recently, must have been in the last month or so, she came out with a new album where she's singing other people's music. And so I know she does a cover of Adele's Rolling in the Deep and some others. And I haven't had a chance to listen to the album, but I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome. I'll have to check that out. Anyone else who, I know there's a lot of music fans out there listening, so that's something you guys can check out. Keiko and I kind of match today. We both have sparkly scarves on. Must be the theme of the day. I like yours. It has pink in it. Pink's my favorite color. Like you can't tell by my pink laptop, pink folders, pink post-its. It's everywhere. So coming up, we are talking wellness right now. And I was actually sitting in the studio doing a production project, and Keiko came in to talk to my radio teacher, and she was saying how she was going to have a digital detox this weekend. And ironically enough, that was going to be the topic of my wellness segment for today. And we all know that, you know, some of us need to limit connectivity, and our lives are constantly surrounded by technology. What do you think, Keiko?
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah. I mean, for me, because I'm basically inundated in technology from sun up to sundown every day doing what I do. And I have a smartphone, and I'm constantly checking my emails and constantly checking my text messages and going online. And then I spend so much time doing my job that I don't connect with people as much. So I'm on the Facebook.
Right. And it's more digital connection rather than anything.
Yeah,
that can be kind of a bad habit sometimes too, because it probably goes into your social life. You know, you get so used to checking your emails all the time, that kind of inhibits your social interactions.
Yeah, I think that it contributes to a lot of the ways that younger people are having difficulty with relationships and things like that, because I don't know that people are seeing how the interactions when you're face to face, you know, the good manners at the dinner table, the little basics of good social interactions are kind of getting lost in, text speak.
Yes, absolutely. People can't even talk in full sentences. Pretty soon everyone's going to say LOL instead of laughing at everybody. Another thing that, I was doing a little bit of research online about this, and it says that it can really mess up with your sleep and productivity. And that's something that I noticed. You know, I talked about how I go to the Starbucks. I go down to a Starbucks in Daly City and do a lot of homework down there because it's 24 hours. But sometimes I'll find myself completely just off track, you know, on my phone, messing around, checking Instagram or getting online and reading blogs. And that's just something that goes everywhere. And then when you get home, you know, you're watching TV in bed or you're checking your Facebook again. And so it can really mess with your sleep habits. And there was an article in the Huffington Post, and I think that was the article that you were talking about when I heard you in the studio. So that's something that you read, and is that what inspired you to do a digital detox?
Well, it was the inspiration at that particular time. It's something that I've thought about before, and I've actually taken weekends away where I intentionally go to places where there is no cell reception, so I have to unplug. But that's a planned vacation away, where this was more a weekend at home.
Mm-hmm, something normal.
Yeah, my normal routine without my normal routine of digital interaction. So it was a very different kind of experience than if I had decided to go camping for the weekend.
Exactly. That would make it kind of forced upon you. This was a very deliberate choice, something that you decided to do for yourself. So why don't you tell me about that? How did that go? How was unplugging? Were you able to unplug?
Yeah, well, I found myself like right up to midnight getting in my digital connections as long as I could, and then turned it off. But it was interesting to me because I found myself sleeping a lot more. So that first day I slept in probably till almost 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness.
Which never happens. I'm usually up and about by 7 o'clock at the latest.
Oh my gosh.
So that was
wow.
long. And I found it surprisingly almost aggravating because I've never been addicted to anything in my whole
aggravating.
Life.
Aggravating. That is something that I've never heard. Okay, aggravating.
Yeah, well, because I've never been addicted to anything in my life, but I must be addicted to technology because the whole time I was jonesing to get online and, you know, check this or that on the internet. And so I even got my parents on board with not being plugged in because we do a family night with them every Saturday or every other Saturday. So we went over there and usually we sit around and we watch Jon Stewart or something like that. And so they had to unplug. So we all played Scrabble and that was fun.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So you didn't have any technology, no TV either.
Nope, no TV, no smartphone. Basically, if it required electricity, I didn't do it.
Wow.
Except for, you know, lights in the house. And
right, absolutely.
And because I don't have a landline, because I actually didn't even have internet in my house until 2 years ago. I don't have cable TV. So we're already somewhat unplugged. But
somewhat unplugged. You kind of keep that nice little balance there.
Yeah.
That's becoming more and more popular. People are just having, you know, Netflix or mm-hmm. Hulu Plus or something like that. I know that that's all I have at home. I don't have cable TV. And I think that that's better for me. Definitely to not have that temptation there and, you know, just that boredom. You know, I'd rather listen to music or read a book or do something rather than just sit there.
Well, I find that in the evenings I get a lot of enjoyment out of kind of, I guess it's sort of escapism because I sit in my bed and I watch a Netflix or two, you know, an episode or two of a show, and then I call it a night. And without that, I sat myself down and I'm okay. I can't get on my phone to look at Facebook and I can't turn on the Netflix. So what am I going to do? So I also have a hobby of doing crochet. So I found myself, okay, well, if I can't do those things, I'll just start a new crochet afghan.
There you go. So did you complete that project over the weekend? Or
I didn't complete it, but I did work on it very steadily.
That's and so too got funny. So you just escaped in another way.
Yeah, but it's a very different because it requires you to be present. You can't be off in Never Land and doing the crochet.
Absolutely.
You have to focus. So
you don't get lost and zoning out while you're trying to crochet. At least I don't think. I've never tried to crochet. Maybe you'll have to teach me.
Yeah, it's actually pretty easy. But I taught myself because my mom used to always do it. And I always admired how she could create these incredible things. And I'm not quite there yet, but
isn't that funny how like your mom is always so much more creative than you? I mean, my mom, I look at the things that she pulls off. She throws the most amazing, incredible parties. She makes the most incredible cakes and desserts and does these crafts and she sews. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do half of that. So it's kind of funny how your mom's always so creative.
Yeah. So this weekend I found myself, I slept a lot. I ate more than I should. I did go for walks. I did about 17 miles worth of walking over the weekend. And, you know, so I guess for making up for the extra food I was eating, I was getting extra exercise that I don't usually get. So
right. So that is good. Plus, one of the biggest things that they talk about online for people who are planning this digital detox is to make the decision as a family. And that was something that you got to implement mm-hmm. by having Scrabble night, you know, with your parents. Was it your parents, you said?
Yeah, it's my dad and his wife. They invite us over every other week. And so
that's really exciting. And you guys usually watch TV.
Yep.
That's too funny. And so you kind of got to do that digital detox as a group and kind of be present all together mm-hmm. and get your Scrabble on. Was it super competitive when my family plays Scrabble? It's insane.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was super competitive, but we were finding ourselves, okay, well, what kind of words can we make? So there was a couple of challenges to the dictionary, but it was because we were trying to help each other to make sure that my daughter got a better score than she could have otherwise. And
that's so funny. How old's your daughter?
She's 16.
Oh, that's really nice. Very exciting. That's really cool. Yeah, my family, when we play Scrabble, we actually play Bananagrams. So it's kind of like Scrabble, but it's a little bit faster and people can yell a little bit more, which, you know, that my family is very loud. So that's always a big factor. But we have the Scrabble dictionary and it tells you all those weird like two letter words, like QI is a word, like what kind of word is that? So that's really cool. Well, that's really exciting that you did that digital detox this weekend. Did you find like any benefits besides, you know, being able to be a little bit more present and get your Afghan done? Any health benefits? Did you sleep better?
I did sleep better, but like I said, I think because I think I would probably have to do a longer detox if I was going to do it again, because it was just the two days, as soon as I unplugged, I was looking forward to, okay, I just have to make it to Monday and then I can plug back in.
Just make it to Monday. So yeah. It was something that you weren't really quite able to escape from completely.
Yeah, it was really difficult. And I would probably have to do something of getting myself away, because having no landline phone, I had to use the phone to get phone calls because it was the only way people could get in touch with me so I could make plans to do things that weren't digital.
That's too, you know what? I haven't thought of that, you know, making plans to do something. I mean, that's obviously what everyone recommends doing, because you don't want to just sit around and be a lump all weekend. But how are you supposed to do that? You know, snail mail people, like, hi, will you like to meet me here at 10 a.m. this weekend?
Yeah. Walk around to the neighbors' houses.
Walk around, knock on the doors, just show up. You know, you see that. I mean, you could see that in old TV. Well, there you go, digital. But old movies and TVs where people just show up at their neighbor's house and see how they're doing. And it seems like today everyone is just so busy and overrun with things to do that you just... The notion of showing up to someone's house to see if they want to hang out is just totally bizarre.
Well, you speak of old movies, it's really funny. There's a movie called Night of the Comet from a million years ago, and I watched it for the first time in like 20 years. It was crazy. And the content of it was, you know, it's a zombie type of movie.
Oh, okay.
And there's a couple of characters in there that are walking down the street, and one of them comments that there's nothing wrong, and then the other one says, there's no children in the street, there's nobody playing, can't you see there's something wrong here?
That is, it's amazing.
It's like, wait a minute, there are no children playing today, is there something wrong here?
Is there something wrong? That's absolutely true. In my psychology class, we were talking about children and nature and how things are changing and what is wrong with today's society, and that was one of the big points, is that children and even people don't go out and do things anymore. They're sitting in and they're on their iPads and they're on their smartphones, and no one is, you know, no one's very present. They're not interacting with each other. It's very solitary. And a report online said that 113.7 million Americans own smartphones, and that doesn't even take into account tablets and laptops and other devices. And I mean, just myself, I mean, I have a laptop, I have a smartphone, I have computers at school that I can use. And so you don't go outside when you think, oh, what are you going to do? That's not something that you think about.
And it's sad to see, like, people will go out to the park and there'll be, you know, a blanket laid out and they're sitting there with their tablet. And
it's terrible.
It's like, wow, you made the effort to get out to the park. Why don't you enjoy the park?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I was thinking, my friends and I were doing something, and I honestly, for the life of me, can't remember what it was. I'm pretty sure we were going shopping, and someone said, is there going to be Wi-Fi there? And it was just like, oh my goodness. Like, what have we come to? Is this what our life comes to? We can't even go to dinner anymore. You know, even restaurants are offering Wi-Fi these days. Yeah. And how do you feel about that?
I don't really like it. In fact, that was one of the biggest challenges during my unplugged weekend was I would go to a restaurant to, you know, get a cup of coffee, and I would be surrounded by TV sets, you know, with news and sports and all kinds of stuff going on. And then I'd go and have lunch with, you know, a friend of mine, and there would be TVs with the football games. And so it was really hard to not be in a place with technology. Like, I could unplug, but it's like I couldn't unplug everything in my environment. And that was kind of frustrating. So I just decided to go for walks and, you know, went outside and did a little shopping and just tried to find a way to not be in an enclosed environment surrounded by technology.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Plus, you got to sleep and eat, which that sounds like fun to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't usually sit around the house and you know, nibble on cheese and
nibble on cheese. That sounds great. You're sleeping until 10, getting to have cheese. Let's switch places. You want to do my homework?
Been there, done that.
You're kind of over it at this point.
Oh, I wish I could say I was over it, but I'm still going to go into master's and.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Really now? Where are you going to complete your master's?
Well, I'm planning on trying to do that here. There's a new MFA program that we're about to launch, and so I'm looking forward to that. But
That's exciting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I might do the Master's of Humanities in the interim and see what happens.
That's very exciting. That's really cool. You're not going to be able to unplug from digital technology if you're doing that.
No.
But those are really great. I think you probably learned a lot over the weekend, you know, about where you use your technology and how much you use it, and kind of give you a little bit of a, like, bring you back down to reality a little bit and kind of give you a little check-in.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, we are very fear-driven as a culture, and that having the technology in our face all the time kind of feeds that. And so I don't want to be that type of person where I enclose myself away from the world, either from fear or from, you know, a technology addiction, which, you know, I never would have known really that I had. Absolutely. But it's like so amazing to see that, oh my gosh, I couldn't even unplug for 2 days without being totally engrossed in, oh, when can I have it? When can I have it?
When can I have it?
Yeah.
That's too funny. Well, thank you so much. I have one last question for you. When you did finally get your technology back, what is the first thing that you did?
I stayed up for 3 hours watching TV.
At midnight until 3 a.m.
You got it.
What were you watching? That's so funny. What'd you watch?
Well, my daughter had me addicted to The Walking Dead, so I was watching a couple episodes of that, and then I was watching Chopped.
Oh my goodness, I love Chopped. That is one of my favorite shows. I almost went to culinary school before I got recruited to play golf here. That was my plan, so I absolutely love Chopped. We even had a local Chopped competition within some of the churches in my hometown, and I actually won it, and it was so fun. I made pumpkin pancakes with like a glaze on top. They were really good.
Yeah, well, I'm known for the chocolate with cranberry brownies.
Yum. I'm going to be stopping by your office frequently.
I'll probably have them next week.
Oh my goodness. I might have to come get one. That sounds so good. Well, Keiko, thank you so much for being here. I'm glad you enjoyed your digital detox and got to watch some TV. So thank you so much.
All right.
We are going to go to a quick break right here on radio.dominican.edu. And when we come back, we're going to talk fall fashion trends. Stay right here.
Wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started.
And now for some stupid criminals. 24-year-old John Warren Fletz and a buddy were charged with robbing 5 sunbathers in Dania Beach, Florida at gunpoint in October. Police quickly picked the two up after a report of 2 men walking around, one with a misunderstood tattoo in large letters across his forehead. 27-year-old Brandon Aaron was charged with statutory rape of a 15-year-old girl in Panama, Oklahoma in October. Initially, he denied having sex with her, but changed his story when the girl remembered that her attacker had the name of an ex-girlfriend tattooed on his penis, and Brandon did. Ramon Herrera of Albuquerque, New Mexico, thought he committed the perfect crime. Herrera broke into a house while the owners were out of town and took $250,000 worth of jewelry. Herrera would have been a rich man had he not forgotten to flush. Apparently, the 33-year-old relieved himself in the house bathroom and also drank a Coke from the fridge and left the can. Investigators say the DNA from the can and toilet matched Herrera, and he was booked into Bernalillo County Jail. Police came face-to-face with a wild boar after a burglar alarm sent them racing to a German hardware store early Wednesday. The animal apparently ran at full speed against the entrance door of the large do-it-yourself shop and broke through two glass doors, which triggered the alarm. After the manager opened the outlet's front doors, the animal escaped without taking anything and apparently unharmed. The owners of the store in Duhlenberg, Germany, estimated the damage at nearly $6,500. When a 10-year-old goldfish named George developed a tumor, its owners didn't just flush it down the toilet. George's owners decided to put him under the knife. The goldfish underwent surgery last week to remove a tumor protruding from the fish's head. The surgery was conducted by Dr. Tristan Rich, head of the Exotic and Wildlife Veterinary Team at Lort Smith Animal Hospital in Australia. To prepare for the surgery, Rich had George swim around in a bucket of water laced with anesthetic to knock him out. Rich removed the tumor and sealed the wound with 4 stitches. At the end of the surgery, George was given painkillers and put into a recovery unit, basically a bucket of regular water, where he started swimming soon afterwards. A spokesperson from Lawrence Smith said the surgery cost about $300, and despite how unusual it seems, it's not the first of its kind.
I'm Harley D. signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Welcome back to Penguin Radio, and thank you to Harley D for that little bit of weird news. I always love her stop sets. They're so great. They're so much fun to kind of hear those little strange things going on in the world. So we just talked wellness with Keiko Arrett, the Director of Operations for the School of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences. And we're going to jump right in here and talk a little bit of fashion and beauty trends for fall. And I'm not a big fashion and beauty trend person because I just wear what I like. If it's in trend or in season, then great. If it's not, oh well, I actually don't care either. But there are a couple things that are showing up in stores lately, and I really have actually been enjoying them. And so I wanted to kind of touch on those for a quick second. And one of them is plaid. And I've always loved plaid. Hello, I'm a golfer. But a lot of it, you know, you think, you know, dad's work shirts or, you know, just the flannel button-ups. And they are making a lot of structured silhouette shirts and skirts and tailored pants that are plaid, and they have little plaids and a little bit of a bigger pattern plaid. And I was just at H&M recently, and they had a lot of really great new coats that had those little plaid patterns. And what's nice is they often have a bunch of different colors. And so it's something that you're going to be able to wear with a lot of different outfits. I am not one of those people that likes to buy things that you can only wear with one thing. Like, I can only wear this shirt with this pair of pants and this pair of shoes with this necklace, and that is all. I'm not that kind of person. If I can't wear it 3 or 4 different ways, then that's not something that I'm going to buy. So plaid is one of those things that goes with a lot of different colors. You can dress it up, you can dress it down, and, you know, you can pair a nice pair of tapered plaid pants with a big chunky sweater for kind of a nice cozy fall but kind of poised look. So check out and see if you can find anything that might be plaid that you might be interested in. Now this next one, quilted. Anything quilted. And before you think grandma's blanket, that quilted patterns are not just for your bedding and the lining of down jackets. Quilting is a padded detail, and it can be a thin padding, it could be a thick padding, and it's coming up in all different areas of fashion. I just bought a new Steve Madden quilted backpack that I absolutely love. And it wasn't an impulse buy. I knew that I needed a backpack. And so I went and I searched around and I looked at Target. I looked at TJ Maxx, and I ended up finding this backpack at a Ross, and it was on sale. It used to be quite a hefty price, and so it's a good quality, well-made backpack, and I got it for a really nice, cheap price, and it holds all of my school stuff, and it has everything I wanted. It's padded, so I can put my laptop in it. It has an outside pocket, and it has inside pockets for pens and flash drives and, you know, cords that you may need for radio, like a splitter cable or my laptop charger, whatever it may be. And so this is a really great backpack. And what I love about it, it's black and it is quilted. And so even though it's my backpack that I can carry every day back and forth to classes and to school and whatever it may be, I am able to stay nice and fashionable, and I don't have to carry a grungy old, you know, backpack that gets dirty. And it keeps nice and clean, and it's easy to clean because I'm able to clean it with a little bit of a wet cloth if something gets on it, because it's leather. And so I'm really loving this quilted pattern, and I actually found a purse that matches my backpack. And you know, I'm all about matching, but that might be just a little bit too much. But quilted patterns are really in, whether that is handbags and backpacks or even vests. I was just at Macy's with my friend the other day. We were just toodle-bopping around the mall, and there were so many quilted vests out, and they are so cute. I've been looking for a really nice vest that's got a little bit of a thinner material. I don't want something that's going to be super bulky, and that's a big concern, but it's getting really chilly out, and so that's something that you need to consider, is to stay warm. And vests are really versatile. You can wear them as an outfit, or you can throw them over your sweater just to kind of give you that little bit of extra core warmth when you're, you know, walking down the street, or if you have to go out later at night or early in the morning when it's freezing cold. I know when I get into the studio, it is so cold out. So quilted patterns are everywhere. So whether it's an accessory like a backpack or a purse or a quilted vest, that's something that you might want to consider for the fall. And those are going to be, it's going to be a very timeless piece. So this might be my favorite one, are booties. And at first, I was really, really opposed to ankle boots, the really short ones. You know, you always see them. You know, they became pretty popular this last year. And I was a really big fan of the riding boot. And I still have my pair of riding boots that I absolutely love. I have a brown pair with a nice, big, thick zipper in the back. And they go with a lot of different things. But fall and winter, this upcoming season, they're really looking toward the ankle bootie. And they have a lot of different kinds, which is what I like. I don't want everything to look the same, or for everyone to have the exact same look going on. And so there's a bunch of different kinds of ankle booties that you can wear. You have ones with the stiletto heel, the really thin heel. Sometimes they have a thick heel, and even the Chelsea boots that are a little bit more combat booty. Sometimes the top of the boot kind of flares out, and it can even fold over at times, and you can tuck your jeans or your tights. But no matter what it is, there is an ankle boot for your outfit. If you need to dress it up, you can go with the more stiletto heel. If you want a little bit of a more casual look, you can wear that thick heel. And so I have been on the hunt for a pair of ankle booties. And again, I'm always checking stores like Marshall's and Ross and TJ Maxx. Those are just my favorites. And so I went in there and to look for a pair of ankle booties. And for on sale were a pair of velvet thick-heeled ankle boots that were perfect. They fit my foot like a glove. They were so comfortable. I walked around the store and they fit like a glove right on me. And I could think right then and there of 10 or 20 different outfits that I could totally wear with these ankle booties. So I decided to make a little bit of an investment. They were still on sale, but they were a really nice quality ankle boot that I can wear with dresses. I can wear them with jeans. I wore them in a presentation yesterday. And so they're a really versatile shoe. And you can wear them with all different kinds of pants. You know, some like riding boots are very limited. You can't wear those under jeans or anything. But these boots you are able to, but you can also wear them with tights or nylons and a skirt. And so they're a very versatile shoe. My mom just bought a pair of wine colored ankle booties and I'm so jealous of her. I bought a black pair that I absolutely love, but her wine colored booties are absolutely adorable. So I'm going to keep my eye out for a look for a pair of those booties. So if you guys are in the market for new shoes and you need something to maybe wear to your holiday parties or to wear for your presentations during finals, I would encourage you to check out those booties. So animal instincts are is another trend that's kind of going on this winter. And animal prints are always very classy. I personally love animal prints. My mom, on the other hand, doesn't tend to like them, which I find very interesting. Maybe it's because she's not a big animal person, but you know, then again, I'm not either. But anyways, this season is really big on the animal printing. And I've seen it a lot of places, and it goes really nicely with ankle booties. But I've been seeing a lot of leopard and snake skin looking, and even I've seen a couple of zebra sweaters that actually look really cute with the, you know, the black and white lines that are kind of intersecting and overlapping. And it really creates a nice polished look. And you can pair them with a lot of different colors, especially like a leopard print. You've got your cream, you've got your little bit of darker brown, you have your black. So you can wear it again with any of those colors, but you can also pair it with other colors like a hunter green or a navy blue sometimes. And my favorite to pair it with is a maroon. I have a pair of maroon tights that I actually like to wear with my riding boots. It looks very nice. And I picked up this tunic. It was on sale for like $10 on sale. And it's got really nice flowy black sleeves. And the front of it is a really nice tailored cheetah or leopard, kind of more leopardy print. And I love this shirt because I can dress it up with my boots and some tights and a nice scarf and some bangle bracelets, but I can also dress it down with jeans and a pair of Uggs if I want to. And so leopard prints are really in. I've seen some pencil skirts that are, you know, black, and then right down the side, they'll have a nice tapered piece of material with a nice little zebra or leopard print pattern that really just gives it a little bit of detail and a little bit of extra poise. So those are a few fall trends that I'm really liking. But again, I want to, you know, this is real life. This is all about being real. And so I really want to stress the fact that these are just my personal opinions and this is what I like. And you know what? 10 days from now, that may be something that I'm not into anymore. And so I just encourage everybody to wear what they love and wear what makes them happy. Don't worry about anybody else, if it's in style, if it's not in style, if your friends like it, if your friends don't like it. You know, all my friends wear combat boots and they look really cute in them. But me, I look ridiculous in combat boots. I look like I need to go out there and be in the army or something. I just look like I'm trying to dress up for Halloween. It's just not something that fits my style. So you do what makes you happy. Wear what makes you comfortable and confident and just go with that. It doesn't matter what the fashion lookbooks say or whatever you read online, but these are just a few things that I really love and that I wanted to share with you. So let's change tunes here to wrap up real life. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about shopping and consumption and organization. This is just something that really just, it just really has been a huge part of my life right now. As you can tell, I've been doing a little bit of shopping, but these are things that I've absolutely been needing. And we really live in a big consumer culture. And so I told you guys that I did a big closet purge recently, and that was something that I really benefited from. I got to get rid of a bunch of stuff that I don't need and don't wear, really make room in my closet and make my room just a little bit cleaner, a little bit more organized. And it really helped me realize that, hey, there may be a few things that I need. Like, I need a nice pair of black boots and to wear with for presentations or for casual wear during the winter months. And really, I noticed that I needed a couple, you know, basic clothing items that I could wear that were really versatile. You know, I'm growing up and, you know, I'm starting to think about job interviews and I'm having to give final presentations. Just yesterday, I had to give my final internship presentation. And so I need pieces in my closet that I'm able to mix and match and wear to all those presentations, like, you know, a nice white top and a pair of black pants and a pair of nice black shoes. And so this closet purge was really able to make me aware of what I had and what I actually needed versus just want. You know, I counted up my pair of tights, my leggings, which I love to wear, and I have like 6 or 7 pairs. So that's obviously something that I don't need to be purchasing, even if they do have a really cute navy blue pair with a pair of white with white hearts on them. Can you tell I just saw those and I really love them and really want them? But I didn't buy them because that's not what I needed. I needed to get organized and just have less stuff. Be thankful for what I do have. So a couple tricks that I learned that I want to share with you is after this purge and organization, I wanted to, again, be conscious and be aware of what I had. So I got rid of a lot of different purses. And so what I did is I stacked my purses facing the side. I had them laying down on the top shelf and just stacked up high. And then I ended up forgetting about what kind of purses I actually had in my closet. So what I did is after I got rid of a few of them, so it gave me a little bit more room, I stacked them like books on my shelf. And this way, when I'm in my closet, I can look and say, oh, look, here's a nice brown bag that I have. Maybe that will go nicely with my cheetah tunic that I'm going to wear today. Or the next day when I'm wearing a nice, wearing a black dress and I know I have my red crossbody bag, I'm able to just see it right there and it's right in front of my eyes. It's not something that I have to go dig for and it really gives me options. It makes me feel like I'm going shopping every day. And that's really important. You don't need to constantly be, if you pack something away, you're going to forget you have it. Kind of what I did with my clothes. I put everything in a bag, grabbed what I needed. And then by the end of 2 weeks, if I didn't have it out, if I didn't remember that it was in there, it's probably not something I'm going to be needing. So that's what I've been doing with my purses, because that's one of my binge items that I tend to buy is purses. You know, just yesterday I was at the Starbucks and I went over to the Ross to kind of walk around, and I actually went to use the bathroom because the Starbucks bathroom was out of order and I almost bought a new purse. Like, I went in there to pee and came out with a purse. Like, that's just not right. That there's something wrong there. So this is really like going shopping within my own closet. And this is probably the biggest space saver, this trick that I'm about to tell you, and my favorite thing, stackable hangers. If you guys don't have them, go get them. They are amazing. What they do is they have a little hook on the front of the hanger, and so you can hang your clothes in a straight, like flat, like, you know, a hanging bag? That's kind of what it is. It's like hanging bag for your clothes. It gives it a nice, you look at them front ways, you can view all of your clothes, all of your tops and things that you want to hang out, and you can stack them. That way your clothes aren't all right next to each other in a row, and you can really organize them. So what I did is I took all of my sweaters and hung them up on this one set of hangers. So you can go probably like 4 or 5 hangers down. They just stack. And then all of your sweaters are visible. And so there you go. There's one hanger. And then you've got another stack of hangers, a little chain of thread that go all the way down. So then you have all of your long sleeve shirts. And so you're able to see, oh, what might I be able to pair under that nice quilted vest that I bought? So you have all of your long sleeve shirts in one location. And then you can do it so on and so forth. And, you know, I know someone who likes to color code things. She likes to dress by colors. So she has a blue hanger and she has a yellow hanger and then she has a pink hanger. And so whatever it may be, whatever your system of organization is, that's what you can do. But these hangers are a really great space saver. And so that's something that I've really been implementing, is how to save space, how to save time, how to be more organized, and how to be more conscious of what you have within your closet. And you can buy these hangers. I know for a fact they have a pack of them for that are velvet hangers, if you like those, at Bed Bath & Beyond. And then they have a little bit of cheaper quality that are plastic, but they're available at Target. And they are the stackable hangers, and they have just completely saved my life and space in my closet. So those are my organization tips of the week for you, and I hope they inspire you, and I hope they help you. And we are about out of time on Real Life. And I'm DJ Homeschool, and I want to thank you guys for listening here with me today, being in the studio. We had Keiko here, and we talked our digital detox. So we had a great show. Thank you all for listening, and I hope that you guys have an amazing week. And I'll see you right back here next Wednesday at 8 a.m. for Real Life with DJ Homeschool on radio.dominican.edu.
She's my beauty on the TV screen.